Father, we give you glory, Lord. Father, we thank you because you are an awesome God. Father, we glorify your holy name, Lord. We thank you because you are so merciful. We thank you because you are an understanding Father. We thank you because you are powerful beyond imagination. We thank you because you love us. We thank you because you chose us. We thank you because you care for us. We thank you because you are an awesome God. We thank you because you are omnipotent God. We thank you because you are omniscience God. We thank you because you are the all-knowing. We thank you because you are the ancient one. Father, we give you all the glory. Father, we give you all the praises. Lord, we magnify your holy name, Lord. We thank you so much, Father, for your love. Thank you for your mercy that speaks for us. Thank you for that precious blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Thank you, Father, for the power, for the wisdom, for this CEO ministry, for the members, for the partners, for the officials, for the supporters. Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us safely here, Lord. We thank you because you take us safely back home. We thank you for the angel that you have released around us to protect us, Lord. We thank you because we are the most precious thing in your eye. We thank you for your promises in the scriptures, Lord. We thank you for the healings. We thank you for the wisdom, for the miracles, the testimonies, the encounters, Lord. Father, we give you all the glory, Lord. We say, take all the glory for everything, Lord. Father, we thank you for this ministration, oh Lord, that has started, oh Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you are about to do in our lives, oh Lord. Thank you for what you are about to do in our families, oh Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleans us from all iniquities, Lord. Father, we say that however way that we have offended you, sinned against you, Lord, we seek for mercy, Lord. We say, have mercy, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord, from all iniquities and all unrighteousness, oh Lord. We beg for your mercy, oh Lord. We beg for your mercy, oh Lord. We beg for your mercy, oh Lord. Father, by the blood of Jesus, wash us, oh Lord. Cleanse us in and out. Purify our conscience. Father, we give you all the glory, Lord. Father, we pray and we ask for your Holy Spirit, Lord. That your Holy Spirit fill our mind. That every filter in our ear, any cobweb in our face and in our ear be removed in the name of Jesus. That every word that we hear and listen, that will not just be hearers of the word, but hearers and doers of the word. Father, let your word enter into our hearts. Father, let us be possessed by your spirit, O Lord. Father, take charge. We yield our members to you. We yield our ears to you. We yield our eyes to you. We yield our nose, our mouth, our skin, our inner understanding. Father, we yield everything that belongs to us to you, Lord. Use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Father, we sprinkle the blood of Jesus in this entire atmosphere, O Lord. Father, we call upon the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let that fire surround this entire place, O Lord. Father, today, O Lord, by your fire, you burn out every chaff. Because the Bible said that any seed not planted by the Heavenly Father shall be uprooted out. Thereby, whatever you, O Lord, has not planted in our life, today, O Lord, this very moment, we give you access to uproot it out in the name of Jesus. Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain. Rain. Let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Let it fall. Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like
like fire, like rain. Let it fall.
Let it fall now.
Like fire, like rain. Let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain. Let it fall.
The essence of coming of Christ was to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. And the kingdom of God is already on earth. It's only if you tune to the frequency of the kingdom of God that you begin to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Only till you tune to that frequency that you begin to enjoy the benefits. You know, in all the testimony, oh, my heart was groaning. I was waiting to hear a testimony, and I preached to four persons, to seven persons, and they gave their life to Christ. My heart was groaning, begging for it. I just closed my eyes, I was praying. I was saying, Father, please give me souls. Give me souls. Give me souls. Give me souls. Give me souls, Lord. I was begging for it. I was begging. I was saying, Father, give me souls. Give me souls. So it now feels like after we preach, we download it. You seek for impartation. Man of God, lay hand on me. Man of God, lay hand on me. Man of God, impact me. And they give it to you. You use it for nothing. Then why you ask for it? Why do you want to prophesy? Why do you want to prophesy when the gift has been given to you? You're using it for nothing. You waste it. Why do you ask for it? You want the mantle of Benjamin Daosa. Your own mantle you can't use. You want to use another man's mantle. You want to carry the present Ketrikuma carries. When he enters the place, Ketrikuma doesn't have a life where there is jokes. Someone that you can be having a conversation with, all of a sudden she starts communicating to the Holy Ghost. She doesn't have that time. Even me, I don't even envy that mantle. I don't envy that mantle. The mantle, the things you want to carry. You want, if you enter a particular place, you let your anointing begin to touch people. What is the price that you have paid for? Did they tell you that in this kingdom that things just work for free? You have to sweat it. There's a price you have to pay. God has given you the grace, but at a certain level you can't enter until you pay a certain price. Because if God is giving you everything, salvation is what God has given to you very free. But every other dimension of that salvation, you pay for it by your sweat. And even that dimension you are enjoying, you didn't get it because you sweated well enough. It's still by His grace that He allows you to enter. If somebody sleeps throughout 1 year, and I pray throughout 1 year, and God favors that person and makes the person a millionaire, or give that person a spiritual understanding that is bigger than the people's imagination, God will be partial. Even me, I will feel offended. You can't mock God. You can't mock God. Any part of God you want, pay for it. Pay the price. You know, it is hard to pay price. I think it's the hardest thing. That time people ask, I envy people that can pray night prayers. I envy them. I enjoy when people in my compound are praying night prayers and I'm sleeping. That sleep, I will not sleep it. I will be awake. I'll be telling myself, you should be praying. I will say, don't worry, that prayer will cover my prayer. Why is that? Is the sleep that is making you say that thing? You are hearing their voice. Sometimes I will touch my wife. I say, won't you do your night prayer? What about me? Then she will get up and be praying. And I'm like, yes, at least one of us is standing. But funny enough, when she's standing, I'm standing. We must come to this understanding. Don't follow God only when things are sweet. And when things are difficult, you start. Some people test you on the voice, man of God, nothing is working out. And I'm like, what do you mean? Not? Do you think that this life, you came to this earth to just come and enjoy the earth? Who even told you? Who even told you that the moment you enter Christ, all challenges have ended? No. When you enter Christ, the devil will look at you more. But there is a grace that will sustain you. But if you know the Holy Ghost, whatever challenge that comes, you have a solution to it. Let me tell you, if you are in a church and a responsibility is given to you, you are blessed. You are blessed. It is what most people don't understand. One thing Michael Robo told me, he said, be happy. He said one thing about being a minister. He told me, he said, be happy that you are called as a minister. Be happy. Many are called, only few are selected. The offices that we are operating in, only few are selected for those offices. A minister is a servant. A minister, you are called to serve. But some people want to be a minister, they don't want to serve. A minister can just study these things and know it for himself and utilize it and grow bigger. But every Tuesday you come here, the minister, what he has read, practice, he's teaching you free. So the minister reads to build you. And he goes back in his house and he sets you on fire by praying for you. The impartation given to him, he comes and gives it to you. Free. Effortlessly. And today you are hot, tomorrow you are cold. Why can't you just for 1 second, just for 1 minute, just remain hot? Some people, it's only when situation comes. Some people have prayed, God has opened their door for blessing, financial blessing, and they're enjoying it. They forget the things of God. When that door closes, you see, you pray 2 days for that door to open. You pray 3 weeks for that one to open again. They neglect the things of God. They take it casual. A lady was sick the other day. They brought her to the ministry. She was in the car. She was in the car. She was calling me from the car. She was in the car. She was now looking and calling me, man of God. Some people went to meet her. She said, no, I'm a servant now. And I'm praying for her. The Lord has healed her. She said, I'm coming to church. We've not seen her in church for some time now. But when you hook, man of God will be on speed dial. Why do people have to wait till the devil take everything that they have? Then they come and meet a man. I'm not sweating again for someone here. Again. No. I've repented. Praise the Lord Jesus. I've repented. Carry your cross and follow who? Did he say carry your cross and follow man of God? Did he say man of God carry their cross and follow Christ? Carry your cross. Praise the Lord Jesus. Today I want to teach you about the life of a Christian. The life of a Christian. He said, until Christ be fully formed, there is a certain way a Christian ought to live their life. There's a certain way a Christian ought to live their life. See, there are certain things that seems right, but it's not right because you're a Christian. There are certain things that seems right, but it's not right because you are there. You can be around people, you can be in a place where everyone is smoking, but you are not smoking. But because you are there, it is bad that you are there. How can you have neighbors that smoke and you have been a Christian for 2 years and up to now that neighbors are still smoking? At least your lifestyle should change at least one. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I was talking about what it takes to be a Christian. Christians have a certain character that every Christian has to carry. If you're a Christian, one thing you must not carry in your heart is malice. One thing you must not carry in your heart is anger. One thing you must not carry in your heart is hate. One thing you must not carry is envy, jealousy. You see, these things are burden. You might think you are moving forward, but you're actually not moving anywhere. You are static in a place. You can't move forward. Some people, like the Lord was speaking to me, I think that was on Friday. The Lord was saying, he said, Emeka, there are many that will start with you, and along the way, many will fall off. And many will intentionally hurt you and fall off. But these are the things that you must endure and bear. I want you to understand that it's not just a prophecy to me, it's a prophecy to everyone here. There are many people that will start with you that will not finish with you. There are many people that will start with you that will betray you. Their betrayer is not because they want to betray you, because they don't know that they are betraying you. And that betrayer will help you to grow faster. He said, until a corn of what? A seed of corn or a corn of whatever dies, it abideth alone. Until you are ready to accept persecution that will come your way, you will abide alone. You must be ready for all those things. Everyone must not like you. Everyone must not love you. Even sweet, not everyone loves sweet. Even tea, not everyone likes tea. Even noodles that you take a lot, not everyone likes it. Even meat, not everyone likes it. So why should everyone like you? But there is a pattern that every Christian ought to follow. You see, the thing is that most people don't know there is a pattern for a Christian life to follow. And because we don't know that pattern, we digress. We assume that this is the way. In case you don't know, the law has been written in your heart according to the book of Hebrew. The law of Christ has been written in your heart. That means the law of Christ is in you. Does that make sense? Can we go to the book of 1 John? Chapter 1. 1 John 1. You read from 4 to 7. Now, first of all, one thing you must know is that what makes you a Christian? Our topic is the life of a Christian. What makes you a Christian? First of all, every single Christian on earth must know that they carry light. That you are a light bearer. Remember, Lucifer means what? Light bearer. But every Christian carries light. Which means that wherever you find yourself as a Christian, there is a light that moves around you. Is that correct? So as a Christian, wherever there is darkness, you have to present yourself because you are light. Is that correct? Please, can you read, ma? Start from verse 4, you stop by 7.
We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy.
Yes.
This is the message we heard from Jesus.
Now, this is the message we heard from Jesus. Now, he's not telling you what he just thought of. He's telling you the message that he received from Jesus. Who is Jesus? Our Jesus. Who is Jesus? Our creator. Who is Jesus? Our maker. Who is Jesus? The role model. I read.
And now declare to you.
You see, one of the issues that we face is that whenever they're talking about, some people even say, you tell someone Jesus said this, he said, but Paul said this. He said, Jesus said this, he said, but Paul said this one now. Even Paul cannot contradict Jesus. It's not possible. Some people neglect the preaching of what Christ asked us to preach. They say, there was no place Paul cast out demon. So why should we Christians be casting out demons? But Jesus, the master, was casting out demons. And even in your church, you are seeing people fall under the power of God. And demons are leaving them. But you still don't want to believe it. You say, but Paul said. Paul is not there to rewrite what Jesus said. He knows Jesus has talked about demons. He's teaching you another dimension of it. So people say, ignore the Old Testament. It's nonsense. Do you know why the New Testament never talked about the prophets? The New Testament never did any deep teaching on the prophets. Because the Old Testament did a wonderful, excellent teaching about the prophets. So why would they come and be rewriting about the prophets again? That's why they focus on the apostles, the evangelists, and the teachers, and the pastors. Because the Old Testament never talked about the apostles. Never talked about the evangelists. Never talked about, but they talked about the pastors. He said, I will give you a pastor after my own heart. So you say, then why didn't the New Testament talk about this? Sometimes the Old Testament already. The explanation of the Old Testament is the New Testament. The New Testament explains everything in the Old Testament. Jesus was with the people of Israel the same way Jesus is with us. He moved with them as rock. Every single time he was with them. He was the water of life that they drank. But we never see it. So the Bible said that we are lights. Please read.
God is light.
He said, God is light.
And there is no darkness in him.
Now listen, he said, God is not. Now this is how you were expected. See, I'm telling you that, see, you are God expect perfection from you, but God knows you can't give him perfection. But God wants you to walk towards perfection. When you employ someone in a company, you expect the person to give you his best. Is that correct? Whenever the person is not giving you his best, you start yelling, quarreling, and shouting at that person. But if the person is giving you his best, what you do is that you push his best. Are you understanding? If you are in a company and you are a boss in a company, if you employ a worker and the worker is giving you 20% of his time, his efforts, and another person just enters the company and starts giving 75% of his time, your effort will shift from the person that is giving 20% to the one that gives 75%. You want the one giving 75% to handle more responsibilities. So if you want more of God, you should be willing to handle more responsibilities. Why is God going to trust you with finances when you can't even send somebody that is school fees is 1,000 naira to school? Why will God entrust you with 50,000 naira when the 1,000 naira is in your pocket? You can't even give someone that is looking for a biscuit 500 naira. Why do you pray for God to open a door when you yourself, in your entire life, you have never opened anybody's door? Why will you ask God to, Father, I want destiny helpers, when you have not been a destiny helper to anybody? It's because we have failed to understand what Christianity is and what we are. The Bible said that God is what? Light. Is that correct? Keep reading. And in him there is no darkness. So that means inside of God there is nothing like darkness. Is that correct? The Bible is saying so.
So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God.
Then we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God.
But go on living in spiritual darkness.
But go on living in spiritual darkness. Darkness, hate is darkness. Anger is darkness. Jealousy is darkness. Envy is darkness. Quarreling is darkness. Malice is darkness. Whatever that does not glory, whatever you can't find in Christ that is in you is darkness. And the Bible said that God is light and in him there is no darkness. He said we can't say that we are from this same God. Read that part again.
So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God.
He said, so we are lying if we say we are having fellowship with God.
But go on living in spiritual darkness.
But go on living in spiritual darkness. Can you increase my mic? I'm shouting. But go on living in what?
Spiritual darkness.
So, do you understand what that says? We can't say that we are with God when in our fellowship with God, that we're fellowshipping with God, when we keep on living in spiritual darkness. You know what it means, spiritual darkness? That time they tell you that there is no sin anymore. Then you keep on sinning, pretending to be righteous, pretending to be spiritual. You are in spiritual darkness. He's not saying physical darkness, but spiritual darkness. You think you are spiritual, but you are lost.
We are not practicing the truth.
We are not practicing the truth. We are not practicing the truth. See, let me tell you, most people think that forgiveness is about emotion. I have to feel it to forgive you. That is nonsense. You don't feel it. You just choose and forgive. Even if it's hurting you, you are forgiven. The thing is that we want to come to the, just like some people are worshiping, they are waiting for that time that the feeling, that song will enter and the feeling will start. Oh, Jesus, he touched me. He touched me. It's not about the feeling. It's a decision. I want to worship you. Whether I am feeling it or not, I'm worshiping you. Whether I am feeling anything like the unction or the anointing, I'm worshiping you. You know, one thing that most people don't understand. You are worshiping. The man of God lies on the ground flat. You don't know what he's seeing. And you are still standing. It's wisdom. That is why if you go to my spiritual father, whenever he's ministering, before, most of you will know, before you know, you see me, I'm on the ground. There is a level, a realm he will enter. I know he has entered another dimension. He will start making certain kind of laugh. You see me on the news, and I'm asking, Father, give me this thing. And the moment I kneel, you see all the other pastors, everybody kneeling. There is something they understand. Whoever senses it first, follow. Your own is that you are waiting to sense. Someone has connected. Follow the person that has connected. That is the problem we have. Oh, until I see that Jesus. The man of God is saying Jesus is here. The presence of God is here. He said, I'm not feeling it. It's not about you feeling it. It's about you aligning yourself to what is happening in the spirit. Oh, Jesus is here. Oh my God. I kneel down, Father. I am here. I know I can't sense you. I can't see you, but I know you are here. Man of God is on the ground. Your pastor is on the ground. He's praying. He's on his knee praying. There's something he's seeing. Sometimes that is when you will not open your eyes to be looking at this man of God. Whether he will take something and start prophesying. Some people will be counting on me and cleaning my face. That's why if I want to prophesy, I'll keep my hanky. Because if I now do like this and start prophesying, you see, it has opened, he has wiped his eye to see. I've been to a church. The man knows I'm a prophet of God. The man will always come close to me and touch me while preaching. The Lord, I know why he was touching me. He's thinking I'm a false prophet. So if you touch me, fire will catch me. And I know. You just come, preach, just come. Holy Ghost, fire. I'm not falling. Because sometimes when you manifest certain gifts, people are shocked. How can a young boy that started ministry all of a sudden started prophesying like this? It's not by power. It's not by how many years you have been in the ministry. It's the grace of God. And the calling of God is upon my life. So you can't judge it based on your own carnal understanding. So when did you start and you are prophesying? Is that how they mature in the spirit? How old was Timothy when Timothy was running a church? Not even up to 20. I think he was 17 or 18. Running a church. He was anointing elders and calling forth elders. How old? And look at me. How old am I? I know over senior Timothy. But you did read Timothy and you are... Timothy is anointed. So I cannot be anointed. So it's a certain thing that we Christians must come to an understanding. Only just people that are working in the house of God. Workers in the house of God. All of a sudden, one person started manifesting a certain gift. You start jealousing. Okay, you overdo your own. No, you they see vision. Even me, I they see. We are sorry. You are prophesying now. I'm not in the mood. Then allow the person that is in the mood of the prophecy to give the prophecy. Whenever your mood comes, touch him and prophesy. It is the gospel truth. If we can't stand as one, then how do we move forward? How do we move forward? Your fellow colleague cannot even advise you that you are wrong. Who are you to tell me you are wrong? I don't understand. Who are you to tell me? So when somebody sees something that is wrong, he should keep quiet and let you go that mistake. Even the man of God has not seen this issue with me. How come you are seeing it? Because that person is closer to you than the man of God. Although we know we have some brothers and sisters that don't know how to present things. But you know, the best thing you must learn as a Christian with someone is that to know to take the best out of that person and leave the bad out of that person. Take the good and leave the bad. There are certain things I would want to do. I would tell my that thing will look so perfect in my eye. I'll text my wife on WhatsApp. I say, baby, I say, look at this thing. I want to do this. What is she? Say, oh no. If you do this, think about this and this. And I'm like, oh, thank you. But in my eye, I've seen it is perfect. But when it goes to another person, the person can bring another side that you didn't see. Does it make sense? So there is a certain way a Christian ought to live. You might not know that your neighbors are watching you because you're a Christian. The first of all, their first impression is that you claim to be a Christian. So they are watching you. Any single day you are in your house and you just carry a girl pass, they will assume that this is the one you are doing courtship with. The next day they see another girl, this one is not a Christian. They don't want to know what you are doing. They condemn it immediately. And you have lost that soul. That is why the way you live your life matters. Some people will call me on the phone. Man of God, I want to come to you. I say, why are you coming to my house? Well, counseling is on Saturday. Come, we do counseling. No matter how close you and I are, I can understand, but others might not understand. If you see me go to a hotel, maybe to go and buy barbecue or whatever, if I just park my car, I go straight, buy it. I don't spend more. I don't even turn to greet a sister or a brother. Pastor, Prophet Emmanuel, I'm going my own. Because the moment you stop, they say they saw you in a hotel talking with a lady. So we take a picture just to go viral. It's not a sin that you stop to greet a brother, but as a Christian, there's certain sacrifices you make for yourself so that you can save another. Be humble. Please read, ma.
But if we are living in the light,
yes,
as God is in the light.
So if we are living in the light, because God expects us to live in the light. So if we are living in the light as God is in the light,
Then we have fellowship with other.
Then we have fellowship with who?
With each other.
With each other. Then we have fellowship with. So that means, in order for me to have fellowship with you, in order for me to actually walk along with you, there must be no darkness in me. That's why I tell people, if you go to a church and a testimony, some you receive a testimony from that church, don't come to see your minister and share the testimony. Even if you share it here, go back to that same church. God needs to be glorified in that church. Because that anointing, you have not satisfied that anointing. I pray for you, God heal you, you go to another church and give the testimony. It is wonderful, but you should step foot in that place where you received it. That anointing. People need to hear what that anointing can do. So that the name of God, not the name of the pastor, the name of God will be glorified. Are we getting blessed? There's some people might be giving testimony, they want to help the man of God. Sometimes, and daddy now told me, and I'm like, when did I thank God we don't have such people in our church in Jesus' name. But there are persons like that, I'm telling you. They can just come and say, man of God, there was a day you told me this. I'm like, no. You say, no, you told me, I was sure. I'm like, no. They are trying to help the man of God. But in the presence of helping the man of God, they lie in the altar of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let your yes be yes. And let your no be no. Don't add any. Don't subtract any. Some people will have a dream. They will see another man of God in a dream. But because they don't want me to feel offended, they will say, daddy, I saw you. It was not me you saw. Eh?
And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Now, and the blood of Jesus, because if we fellowship with God, the blood of Jesus has the power to clean us from all sin. You stop verse 7. No. We have, what verse? Is that 7? You've read 7. Use NLT, please. Is that NLT? Give me NIV. There's something I'm looking for. Start from verse 5. Stop at 7 again. Let me see.
This is the message we have heard from him.
Verse 5. Start from verse 5. Yes. Okay. All right.
This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all.
In him there is no darkness at all.
If we claim to have fellowship with him.
If we claim to have fellowship with him.
And yet walk in the darkness.
And yet walk in darkness.
We lie and do not live out the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us. What is it purifying us for? Because we are walking with God. We are reflecting what that light is. Begin to pray in the spirit, please. So don't read one part and feel, okay, this is the part, and stop. Now, does it cost you anything to say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Have mercy. Does it cost you anything? So why then that sometimes we sin and we know that God has forgiven our sin? So instead of confessing it, we know that we just assume that he has forgiven our sins. What if at the end of the world you come and it was not forgiven? Will you go back and go and replay? It will cost you nothing to say, I'm sorry. How many of you have ever, you meet your father, you wronged your father, for example, you are going, your father say, don't eat that indomie. You went and you eat the indomie, ate the meat. They say, don't kill that fowl. You kill the fowl, kill the goat. Then when you meet your father, you just assume he has forgiven your sins. That is how it is. So then why then do we ask, forgive one another? Why not we just assume that I offended you, you are forgiving me? Why can't we assume? But when it comes to God, we assume our sins are already forgiven. Yes, he has made way for that sins to be forgiven. But it costs you not to say, Father, I'm sorry that I lied. Sometimes you lie. And before you lie, you know you're about to lie. So sometimes you intentionally lie. That lie needs to be repented. Father, I'm sorry. Help me not to lie anymore. Father, I'm supposed to be at the church by 7 and I came by 8. Lord, I'm sorry. Repent of it. God is not going to condemn you. He loves you. That is why he has given you the blood of Jesus as a sacrifice to. Whenever you say, have mercy upon me in the name of Jesus, that blood of Jesus Christ sacrifices for you. And it's like you didn't sin anymore. Does that make sense? Are we getting blessed?
Yes, sir.
Now, what is the character that Jesus Christ carries? Number one is loving. 1 John 4, 7 to 8. Love. It is so, why should it be hard for a Christian to love one another? I'm waiting.
Dear friends, let us continue to love one another.
4 verse 7.
Dear friends, let us continue to love one
another. Now that, let us continue to love one another, it means don't stop loving, continue to love. Because in the life of Jesus Christ, everything he did was out of love. He sacrificed his kingship in heaven to come to earth and be under men authority because of love. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Do that mean that you as a Christian, love need to inhabit in you? Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. You don't feel to love somebody. Feeling will die. I don't know. I don't care how you try to push it. It's a matter of time. Feeling will die. Then the thing that will be left is a decision that you have made. That does not mean you don't love. That is, you see, when the feeling dies, that's when the love even begins to grow. That is when you have kicked into the love. That is when you tell someone, I don't know why, I just love this person. That time, that is when you mean it. Some of you see a young lady, we see a guy. You say, I don't know why, I love you so much. He's confessing lust, not love. I love you so much. You mean the world to me. The day the guy stopped giving you the 30,000 every month, you say, I don't know, you look like you're not loving me anymore. You are telling the guy that you say that you love, it looks like you're not loving me anymore. What you are weighing that love is based on the money he's giving you. Oh, I love this girl. This girl is so fine. This girl is so fine. And the moment the makeup is wiped, you are like, I didn't know you lied to me. What is happening? Your love was hooked on a particular thing. Your love has a reason. True love should not just have a reason. You should have a choice. So my brother, my sister can hurt me. I tell you one thing, you can love somebody and keep your distance from the person. If someone hurts you, first, second, forgive the person, love the person and keep your distance. It's not a sin. Hello? Because God knows you are avoiding to be tempted. Not sexually, but tempted to fall into that trap again. He said, I am sending you as a sheep, but be as wise as a serpent. So a sheep has an attribute of foolishness. But God said, remove the foolishness of a sheep. But let people see you as a fool. But let that wisdom dwell in you. That's why he said that, is anyone among you who is lacking wisdom? Let him ask the Father who give generously. What is God doing with wisdom? He can give it to you anytime you want it. He wants you to have wisdom. The thing is that you don't know you have wisdom. Please read, ma. Start from that verse 7 again.
Dear friends,
let
us continue
now,
to love.
Now, this letter is to the believers. Let us continue
to love one another.
To love one another.
For love comes from God.
For love comes from God. Every single time you exhibit love, let me tell you something. Every time you do something, you love one another, you do something good to a brother, you are doing it to God. It's as simple as that. That I don't know how to explain it to you. They say that people that are supposed to give tithes receive tithes are the Levites. Is that correct? But Levites are not supposed to give out tithes. They are supposed to receive. Right? But before Levites came, Levites were in the womb of Abraham. The Bible says so in the book of Hebrew. Levites were in the womb of Abraham. And Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. So even Levites gave tithe. Because whoever must collect tithe is someone that will never die. That is the scripture. It's in your Bible. Whoever that is meant to collect up, that's why you don't pay tithe to a man. You pay to a ministry. If the man dies, the ministry still lives. No, any man that eats your tithe will suffer. Any man that takes someone's tithe and eats will suffer. Except God says, a man of God, end of the month, let your ministry pay you 50,000 naira. apart from that, if you touch any one naira that is not your own, oh my, you will transfer a curse from. It happened to the children of Eli. They were eating what was meant for God. It happened to the children of Samuel. They started taking things that were meant for God. No, even if it's the hair you pull out, you suffer for it. That's why those people that are workers in the ministry, they'll say, man of God, this thing is 7,000. I don't even used to argue price with them. I transfer to their account. Eat it. No, if you find that a man of God, his car might break down, for example. A worker might want to go and fix it. You say, man of God, the car, they said 10,000. The man of God will be priced it. No, let's do it 5,000 because it's his own money. But if it's something, if it's the vehicle of the church, you say, is that the last price? You say, yes. You say, pay him. Because if you have lied, that's why sometimes men of God will tell you, sorry, you know, this is the things of God. Please do your best for us. He has committed you already from that simple statement. If I book you, foka, yelanyaka. You say, bam, bam, bam. You know you can do it for 8,000. You say, bam, 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 or 15,000 last price. The man will give you the money. You will take it. But watch your shop crumble and fall. You don't joke with God. Don't joke with God. Don't joke with God. Don't joke with him. He said, the Bible says it is by faith that Abel offered a better sacrifice than what Cain gave. Abel gave something that was fresh, alive, living, healthy, because Abel knew that God exists. Cain, in his mind, was saying, what does God need those things for? I better give him vegetable. What does he need any good thing for? He's a God. He can't eat it. What does he need it for? Because he saw God as someone that don't need anything. My brother, God need your praises. He need your time. He need your sacrifices. He needed to have a reason to bless you. You come before God, you are forming, you are a church man, and God is looking in the track record. There is nothing he can use to bless you. So even if God wants to bless you, he is helplessly helpless and hopelessly helpless to bless you. There are some shoes that are in your locker that you no longer wear. Bring it up and give out. People like us, when we have, we take time to give to somebody because our size is big. You know, you can mend clothes, but you can't mend shoe. Praise the Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? Please read, ma.
Anyone who loves is a child of God.
Anyone who loves is a child of God. So how can you tell me you're a child of God and you have hate in your heart? I can't forgive my husband, though. I can't forgive my husband, though. He, can you imagine? He said, I'm in Mweke. I can take all the insult, but not that Mweke. Your love is not yet pure. Because he will call you Mbavo. Thank you for agreeing with me, baby. God bless you. So it's important to come to this understanding. That's why love holds no grudges. I'm telling you about what truly love is. It is not easy. Let me tell you, time. It took me time to understand what love is. It's not easy. Before, I was thinking that it's a matter of time. I'll just give me time. I will love you, just give me time. I'll just forget what you have done. Then it doesn't, it's not. But I found out it's a decision. I've forgiven you, don't worry. You say, no, if you're forgiving me, hug me. I don't need to prove to you, I've forgiven you. It is done, it is done. In my heart, it's no longer there. And the more you practice it, the more it becomes reality to you. The more you practice it, the more it becomes what? Reality to you. Keep reading, ma'am. Stop at verse 8.
Anyone who loves the child of God and knows God.
Anyone who loves is the child of God and knows God.
But anyone who does not love does not know God.
But anyone who does not love does not know God.
For God is love.
For God in himself is love. You say, see, I can forgive every other person, but you see this person, I won't forgive this person. So because your father hated a particular brother, you must hate that brother. Who are you? My mother said this, my brother, this, my uncle is wicked, so I should avoid him. And you wake up, you start transferring that negativity, that hatredness from generation to generation. What is the reason why you hate that person that you are hating? If your father says you should hate him, don't hate, but avoid the person. so that you don't join in the sin of the father, because the sin of the father can fall upon the sins of the, it can fall upon the sons and go to third to fourth generations. It happens in our village. Your grandma will say, don't enter the person's compound. I don't know you, grandma. I don't know what is the difference. I can respect you by not going there, but I won't hate this person. If I see him in the road, I will greet him. You never can tell. That man's child might be your destiny helper. Praise the Lord Jesus. Can we go to the book of John 15 verse 13? Let me just read it. He said, greater love than this, than no one ever had. God showed the highest kind of love by laying down his life for us. So if you must be a Christian, the first thing you must know how to do is to love. Then the second thing is forgiving. You can't love without forgiving. You can't do what? Love without what? Forgiving. So forgiveness is needed and necessary. Can we look at the book of Luke 23:34? Are you getting blessed by this teaching? Yes.
Jesus said, Father, forgive them.
Father, forgive them.
For they don't know what they are doing.
For they don't know what they are doing.
And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice.
Uh-huh. Now, look at what Jesus Christ did there. Just look at what Jesus Christ did there. Forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Forgive them, for they know. See, these people were the people that crucified Jesus at the point of death. They crucified him. They washed him. They tore his clothes. They stabbed him. Do you know how they check whether he was alive? They would take the spear and they just thrust it into him to check whether he was alive. And the what was coming out of him was now water, no longer blood. So forgiving is necessary. It's funny, if God forgives you your sin, then why can't you forgive others? Like I say, you can forgive and keep your distance, but let it be forgiven. You know, that's how the devil works in the heart of people. They said, if truly you are forgiving me, hug me. You hug. If truly you have forgiven me, let's go and drink. He said, no, he said, you have not forgiven me. Guy, if you have forgiven me, let's go and drink. Foolishly, you went and you refused to drink. They say, Oga, if you are forgiving me, take at least one bottle on my name. That is the devil speaking. They are manipulating your Christianity against you. I'm telling you, things that happen within our lifestyles, it happens. I've seen people do it to people countless of time. And then you take one bottle. Then somebody was chatting me on WhatsApp, was telling me, man of God, is it a sin to drink? The Bible said drink. And then I was like, this, in my mind, I was like, this is the reason why you're wasting my precious time. You could be asking me something that will bless your life. You are only seeking for a reason to drink alcohol. I now asked the person, I said, what do you think is your gauge? He said, maybe if I take two bottles, I'm okay. I said, it's a lie. The moment you take two bottles and you know you are drunk, you have been drunk before you even know you are drunk. Hey, Jesus. That time you think you are drunk, 30 minutes ago, you were already drunk. That one is when the thing has already affected your locomotion. How they call it? Locomotion. Is it locomotion? What they call that thing? Eh? Movement, locomotion. How do they pronounce it again? Locomotion, I'm correct. Biology. Oh man, I could shake it. God is just bringing, opening biology dictionary for me. That time, because it's no longer, it's already now controlling your movements. That is when people say, two bottles has made you drunk. You were drunk since. It has already polluted your spirit before you entered the body. All of a sudden, you are taking an alcohol, you started smiling, thoughts. You start thinking of funny things and you are laughing. You're already drunk. Oh. It's not only when you start moving like this that you know you are drunk. That is not it. That is when you are already in excess. And the person now kept quiet. So if you think one bottle makes you drunk, drink half. If you think one bottle is what makes you drunk, drink half. So you must learn to forgive. So don't let them draw you into going to a beer parlor, a club, in order for you to show you are forgiven. I've forgiven you. It's not about feeling. Remember, It's what you say with your mouth is a decision. I have forgiven you. I've chosen to forgive you. So even if your heart is worried, that is left for your heart. Oppose what your heart wants you to do. Some people say, Makachuku, if I forgive you, might die. Look at you that cannot even create a single hair. And you are betting on the life that is not even your own. Number three, humility. Humility. What do we see in the life of Christ? He was humble to a fault. At the time he came and called the 12 disciples and washed their feet. I'm like, God. Sometimes when you check the meaning of minister, you won't want to be a minister. Because the thing, why we think minister is all about showing power, is because the government that we are working under, our country in Nigeria, our ministers are smuggling money. They are being worshipped instead of serving us. So we believe that as a minister in Ebuba, we forget that ministry is all about giving. So Jesus was so humble to a fault. He was so humble that he washed the feet of his servants. How many of you wash the feet of your fellow servants? How many of you even wash the feet of your younger brother? My, come on. Come just how well I saw an offer. We have times that we can ginger them out of disrespect. You know, sometimes the only time we see that humility is when our brothers are sick. Hey, nah. Hey, yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah, let me remove your trouser for you. Jesus was so humble. He was so humble. See, when you know, this thing I'm teaching you is something you look at, you emulate. You see it, you emulate. That's what they call, what would Jesus do? It helped me when I was growing up as a Christian. Whenever I encounter a situation, my first question would be, what would Jesus do? WWJD or so. What would Jesus do? It's a question you ask yourself. When you find yourself in any situation, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? The moment you say, what would Jesus do? The scripture, the reference of that will come to you. You might not know where the scripture is, but a quote will come to you. And whenever you keep doing what Jesus would do, then the Holy Ghost begins to gain ascendance to speak to you more. Does it make sense? Humility. In your place of work, humble yourself. Humility. Humble. Humility is not foolishness. It's power under control. You bring yourself down and humble yourself. Every woman that is a pastor's wife has the tendency of being more anointed than the husband. Humility. Once you humble, God begins to put attention on you. Because the moment a woman humbles, the pride of the man grows. And God doesn't like pride. So you are manipulating your husband, God will start focusing on you. But if the man is wise, the moment the wife is getting humble, the man too is getting humble. A point will come, you people will become understanding. It's the best way to explain it. You will become understanding. You know, there's one thing about our Nigerian marriage and family. It will help us. Me and my wife can have an agreement that I can be washing plates. She didn't force me. I'm the one that chose to be washing plates so that she will be doing another thing. But the moment your friend enter your house, so guy, now you didn't wash plate for your house. But guy, don't talk to me. They shame me. You be mad. I will take the wash plate. I just reason them now. You're okay now. I come to your house. Your wife, they even rub your back if they wash plates. And because of that, because you don't know that what works for this marriage cannot work for this marriage. It's your marriage. Two of you know yourself well. That his washing plate does not neglect you being submissive to him. You know that. But another person's wahala is about to enter your own now. And you go to that your friend's house. He's the one sweeping the house. You not telling wife, you say, yes, I can sweep up, but I can't wash plate. Plate is for women. Now, what is the difference? It's just the understanding. And you use another man's case, bring to your own case. Do you know that my husband, when my husband is leaving the house, my husband gives me 50,000? It's a lie. So I'm telling you the truth. And I don't like it. It's too cheap. It's too small. I mean, he makes a lot of money. Should be giving me at least 100,000 and so. And the woman now come back home. Only let me tell you, things are very high in the market now. You see that 20,000 that you are giving me is not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. Going there with Brazilian hair. And now this family was going very well. Everything was going very, very well. But because you saw someone else's standard of marriage, you emulate that standard to your own standard. That is absolute foolishness. Foolishness in a high degree. The way your own marriage is going, follow it that way. If it is 10,000 he gives you every month for feeding, my brother, love him more. One day he will go to his own friend's house and the wife will be saying, honey, that 20,000 that you gave me for a month has finished. He will now shock. You say, yes, I know, baby. Yes, 20,000 is not enough. I'll give you another 5,000. He will come back with his own sense and increase your money. No quarrel attached. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Don't use what you see in someone else's house and destroy your own. Your husband does not buy you clothes. That one he is giving to you, rock it for him to the best of your knowledge. One day he will be the one to look at you and say, Kai, I need to get you something new. Men want to spend little, but let their food have quality. We are like that. We are like that. Do to the best of your ability. It might take 4 to 5 months for him to understand that the money he's giving is not enough. But the day he will come to an understanding that what he's giving is not enough, you will love him even more. Grow with him. Don't be in a hurry. Don't come. That's why the Bible says you are foolish to compare yourself with one another. There's a reason why you people are combined together. There's a reason why this person and this person is combined together. They match themselves. He said, I will make for him a suitable helper. Adjust. He cannot afford AC. Don't kill yourself because your friend has AC. He cannot afford to subscribe so that you can watch TV. My brother, press your phone. Build yourself to what you can afford. You see, that man you are looking like, you feel like he doesn't know that you need to watch Telemundo, you need to rob the best. He knows. No man, he sees other people outside. He comes back home. He knows there is more he can do. Don't let him come back from the stress of the world and come and meet your own stress at home. You will chase him away. And men have to come to the place of knowing that women likes gifts a lot. If you are coming back sometime, you don't have anything to buy tissue and come back. Gift is gift. Women love gifts. They love to be receiving something. They want to receive. Buy spoon, sweets, anything. Once in a while, buy shawarma, come, give. Then for 3 months, don't buy shawarma, be buying biscuit. I'm teaching you how these things work. It's funny, but I'm teaching you these things. When danger comes, your wife will be saying there is not enough money to cook food. When danger comes that affects your health, where she will pull out money from, you'll be shocked. You say, how did you get all this money? She said, I've been saving for us. But 3 months ago, you said there was no money for food. He said, which one do you prefer, the 3 months ago or the money I'm giving you now? You now, anytime you give him money, you will just know she's saving somewhere. I'm teaching you. We must learn to be humble. Christ is humble. No, everything must not be you. It must not be your own word that will stand the last. Humble yourself. Bring yourself down very low. Let people say that this person is humble. Don't be telling people, you know I'm humble now. You can't announce it because you don't even know what to be humble is. You don't know what humility is. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve the world. You see, Jesus Christ gave us a standard that is impossible for us, but he knows it is hard for us, but he lived it. Jesus Christ lived as a man and perfected the human race. That thing you call impossible, Jesus Christ showed it was possible. He was the first man to live without a sin. Completed it without a sin. Every single day he was praying, he was doing good. Throughout his entire life, there was no fault in him. Not even the devil could find a fault in him. Even the Father could not even see any fault in him. He was blameless. His blood was blameless and spotless. Even the anger that burned in him was a holy anger. Can someone say humility? Mark 10:45, please read.
For even the Son of Man came not to be served.
For even the Son of Man came not to be served.
But to serve others.
But to serve others.
And to give his life as a ransom for many.
And to give his life as a ransom.
For many.
For many. Can you give your life for? Can you die for someone? He said no. Can you die for someone? The reason why you are saying you can't die for someone, I have the answer. God has allowed me to know the answer is because you have not come to the point that you are content. If you die now, what will you regret? What will you regret? Your thought is that you have not built that house. You have not driven that car. So why should I die? Jesus had a thought of knowing that whatever he is lacking is somewhere prepared for him. The thing is that you still take earth as your home. The day you, do you know the same way you go to a village and you are restless in another man's village? Maybe you go to a friend's hometown and the hometown is not as developed as your hometown. They don't have network. You are frustrated. You are only staying in that place because of that your friend. If you are given a chance, you will leave that place. Because what? You have a better place to be. The moment your life comes to that place, you need to come to understand that if I leave this earth, I go to a better place. Far more better, far more beautiful. You'll be willing to lay it down. But it's not easy. It comes with a great understanding. I think the only thing I can tell you that I'll be worried about is because of the loved ones you will leave behind. How they will cope, the pain they might go through. So if Jesus appeared and said, it is time, son, it's time to go. You say, no, I want to stay more. You've not really understood it. That is why so many great men of God left. They know they were about to leave. They told their family, hey, see, do this, even Jacob, Isaac, everyone know they're about to leave. They set their family in order and they left. There is no rest. The Bible says, you can't enter my rest. See, there is no rest until you get to heaven. Even while you are lying on the bed sleeping, you are not resting because your spirit is traveling. How is it that you ate food and you slept and you wake up, you are hungry? Did you walk? So how come you ate and you slept and you woke up and you are hungry? And yet you didn't do any exercise. Because even while you are sleeping, your body is walking. There is no rest on earth. Forget that thing, I'm resting, there is no rest on earth. Rest is in heaven. Oh. So even the Son of Man came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve the earth, to serve the world. Compassion. Number 4 is compassion. As a Christian, you must have what they call compassion. You must feel what others feel. You must learn to feel what others are feeling. Number 5 is gentleness. All this thing I'm telling you is what you must carry as a character. That is, see, these things are what you use to know a man that is truly of God. You watch the love, the compassion, the gentleness, the humility, as the forgiveness. These are things you use to judge a man, to know if that man is truly of God. Gentle in your nature. Some of you, small thing, you tell someone, Obama, I tell you, I don't mad before. If you want my show you the other boy, forget say we they do church. Forget about this church. Guy, if you want my review myself to you, I go review myself to you. That means your old nature is somewhere buried. You didn't destroy, you didn't kill it. I will tell you I was mad before. A Christian, look at what you are confessing with your mouth. Oh boy, forget say we they do church things, I will deal with you. Such words should not be heard from you. Even if it wants to find an escape route, you hold it. Some of you, someone will tell you something small, you say the person is shouting. You will not tell you, hey, I don't like this thing you are doing, I don't like it. He says, stop shouting up. Stop shouting. Let me use a very right English word. Stop shouting upon me. Stop shouting upon me. A little thing is a shout. Have you ever been in an argument? You know you don't have any weapon against that argument. You now go somewhere deep, something that happened 15 years ago, and pick it. Bring it from 15 years and bring it to this present. And say, that is what you did when we are in primary 2. My mommy gave me 10 naira. You deceived me and told me it was 5 naira. You think I'm forgiving you about that? All because you wanted to win an argument. You went and opened an old wound. We must learn. What are we talking about now? Gentleness is a nature that you must carry. Wherever you are, let people see you as a gentleman. Let people see that quietness in you. When people talk to you, they can sense it. Do you know that if you are speaking with a man that has the nature of God, even if the man is laughing recklessly, you will sense peace. There's something about the Spirit of God, it conforms you. Somehow, he hibernates you and takes charge. One thing happened, I think it was yesterday. Some people were in my workplace, some people were quarreling downstairs. My worker and one of the customers were quarreling. So I came out. So I was saying, stop shouting. Stop shouting, stop shouting. The lady was so angry. She didn't even want to hear what Oga was saying. She was yelling back. I just leaned on that iron, just covered my head. I was tired. Somebody else walked from office. The secretary came out from office and raised her voice. It was like a lion voice. Come on, shut up. Oga Emeka is saying you should keep quiet. You are making noise. I'll slap someone. She now fought the battle. And I looked and I said, thank you. Thank you. Everybody now hibernated. Because there's a point you will reach. See, Obura forming, when you constrain yourself and avoid unnecessary doing something that doesn't make sense, a time will come, even when you want to do it, you can't do it anymore. Because you have killed that spirit. I tell people I don't know how to shout. It's not life. It's the truth. But before, I have a loud voice that if I'm speaking here, someone in another compound can hear my voice. If I laugh here, you've not seen me laugh now. That time, but if I laugh, ha, 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 ha. This whole neighborhood will know that there is a crazy human being laughing. But I started restraining myself. You can crack a joke. My first intellect will calculate that joke. Is it God-fearing? It's a joke, but I'm asking if it's God-fearing. Then if it is not, I hold myself not to laugh. So because of that, when you crack certain jokes, it doesn't fall. It just makes me laugh. Does it make sense? Because it is not a bad feeling. It's a choice. When I'm watching a comedy video and I see people abusing the name of Jesus, you say, Jesus, I move up. I don't want to watch it. And because of that, I hate it. So if I see your comedy and you're using the name of Jesus, I hate you and I hate your comedies. Because I programmed it to hate whatever that does not glorify my Father. So it is something you must program. It's like saying, God, make me humble. God cannot make you humble. You will choose to be humble. God does not make man humble. Jesus Christ learned humility by what he went through. He learned gentleness by what he saw on earth. He learned forgiveness by what people were doing. Nobody came and said, Jesus Christ, this is how to be humble, or this is how to be gentle. Talk like this. Walk like this. That is not it. When the Holy Ghost begins to come inside of you, he programs you. Some men of God, you see them, they are shouting. It's only at the altar. If you meet them at home, they won't even speak words. Sometimes people come and they're looking at me, I'm looking at them and I'm laughing. Sometimes I don't have that strength to talk what they want me to talk or how to talk. Sometimes I force myself to have conversation with people. Why? Some people feel, some people say, man of God, life is not easy. Hey, man of God, it's not, I can't marry a man of God. You are missing the most priceless thing in this world. You don't know. It's not better to marry a genuine man of God and know that you are making heaven than to follow a man that wake up in the morning and feel like beating you. Don't wake up, feel like the muscles are rusty. Just wake up out of nowhere, devil just possess the man of God. I say the man, not man of God. Man will just wake up in the morning and just wake up around 8 o'clock and just look. You say, I'm up and you are still sleeping. Excuse me, you just woke up. Other ladies wake up by 4 a.m. So you are supposed to be fine. Wake up, the house is clean, food is ready. And you now say, you now are tired. You are tired. What are you doing this hour? You are tired. Then you, because you are not spirit filled. Oya, kill me. Oya, kill me. Kill me now. Kill me now. Blood, you are bleeding. It's all of you to run. You are shouting, kill me. You must kill me, oh. You must kill me, oh. You are prophesying. If you don't kill me, I won't leave you. If you don't kill me, I won't leave you. And they bring a pastor. He says, pastors, every time he's praying. In fact, you are useless. Oh, that person is useless. If I'm you, go and find a pastor. If your husband is not a pastor, make him a pastor. Father, call my husband. Lord, call my husband. By fire. Call him. Just like the video I watched, he was saying, Lord, give me, is it, who was the name of that lady he was calling? And the guy was on the mountain. There was a short video. It was a mountain. He said, Father, give me, he was calling the name of a girl. Give me the girl or I die. Give me the girl or I die. Give me the girl or I die. Give me the girl. I said, oh God, what waiting God they hear for prayers? Eh? It's a comedy, it's not a real thing, but I know people actually do that thing. Father, give me Sister Chinwe. If it's not Sister Chinwe, I am not going anywhere. Give me Sister Chinwe. Waiting God they hear. If they pass them through your mail, you see irrelevant. And you want him to answer. And if he doesn't answer, you blame him for not answering. Some people have confused God to the extent that whenever they come in prayer, God waits 1 week to answer the prayer. You now come, you say, Father, I want Toyota Camry 2020. God will say, don't worry. 2 weeks, 3 days ago, he said he wants Toyota Camry 2018. No answer the prayer, wait, he will change it again. Then 2 weeks again, God will say, you see, don't come again. Waiting again, one, Toyota Camry 2021. I tell you, this guy is a confused human, believe him. Praise the Lord Jesus. Matthew 5 verse 9. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
God blesses those who work for peace.
God blesses those who work for peace.
For they will be called the children of God.
Because they will be called the children of God. Gentleness. To be gentle. See, gentleness is not about your appearance. It's your heart. It's your heart. Your understanding of the things of God. Let it follow you. Let me tell you, if you have friends that are wise, you will be wise. If you have friends that are spiritually inclined, you'll be spiritually inclined. You might not be as spiritually inclined as they are, but you will be. They said if you walk to a room and you are the wisest person in that room, you are in the wrong room. Leave that room. Don't ever want to be the wisest in the room. It shows you're no longer growing. Make friends with people that understand spirituality. When you follow them, you start becoming more of them. It's like when I went to Makurdi, I met with Orobo Michael. There was something special about him. I mean, this is the person I've been listening to his message. His message has changed my life in so many ways. And when I was there, I told my friend, take picture. Just take picture of him. Take picture as I'm meeting him. I was shaking him, taking pictures. So he was just talking to me as a cam guy. I was like, hey, bro, what's up? bro, what's up? I'm fine. And I saw some persons around. They were not even looking at him. So like, they don't know him. So I'm like, ah, this anointing that we are shouting for over here. You people are seeing it so common here. But yet he's so gentle. So calm. Let the anointing you carry make you gentle. You can't pray for God to make you gentle. You become it. By living your life the way Christ lives his life. Emulate Christ. Make a decision that I want to follow God. Number 6, self-control. As if you must be a Christian, you must have what they call self-control. I don't think this one needs more explanation. Self-control is important. Self-control. You must have what they call self-control. You must know everything you grieve for must not be everything you eat. It's not everything you want. Everything you see is what you eat. You must learn not to be carried by the things you are seeing. I want this one. I want this one. I want this one. Why do you want those things? If you don't have control over your life, there is a level you can never attain in life. We must learn to be content. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Can we go to Proverbs 25 verse 28? Proverbs 25 verse 28.
A person without self-control.
A person without self-control.
It's like a city with broken down walls.
It's like a city with broken down walls. You know what it means? Anything can attack you. If you don't have self-control, you can't really follow God. Do you know what it takes to fast? Let me share something with you. There is no day I've come here to... let me leave it. When the time is right, I'll share with you. But when it comes to self-control, when it comes to self-control, you must learn it as a Christian. There are times you just fast, not because you want anything to grow in you, but because you want someone else to be blessed. It takes self-control. It takes self-control. Do you know that to give someone something, to dash someone money, takes self-control? Do you know that to come on time to anything you are doing takes self-control? I know some of you might be closing work maybe by 5 and everything, but do you know it takes self-control to plan anything in your life? Some of you are coming from as far places as Imo, Nimo, far places. Some people were coming, came all the way from, somebody came counseling here on Saturday. Wetted, he was calling me. I didn't want to pick up because I wanted to rest. I think I was studying the Shepherd staff. So I didn't even know it was person calling. I was not even picking up. I was not checking my message because I didn't want to pray for anybody. I want to just study. The person waited there till around 2. Said he came from one far place like that, so he has to go back. I said, I'm sorry. There are people that it takes him to have control. Some people will call me on the phone and say, man of God, is that how you used to do your own? Your counseling is by 12 and you didn't come. Some people will not even call you again. They won't even message you. It takes self-control to go for evangelism. To be there and hold the mic and everyone is looking at you. And you're preaching the gospel. Self-control is not only in material things, in sexual things. You must learn to control yourself. That thought, that thing you are thinking of stealing. Some people have thought of it and they refuse to steal. It's self-control. Don't give yourself any reason to break yourself. Some people are waiting for a reason, something to happen, so that they will give themselves a reason to do a particular thing. You come to the house of God. Do you know, as you're sitting down, you're exercising self-control to sit down and hear the word of God. It takes self-control to love. You just pass someone and say, hey, most of our village persons, how are you? Are you not Ada? You say, the son of Peter. The one that the mother fell from Panwine Tapping. The one that the brother died in a car accident. It's not you that the brother's wife ran away. You that your younger brother is something mental. How is that younger brother? They left you. I'm talking about your younger brother that is mental. And you are answered. And answer, and you are the one that you are 28 now. Yes. What about marriage? It takes self-control. It takes self-control to wait on God. You must wait. You must believe His promises. You must wait. You are 28 years, you are not married. Hey, ne better hurry up. Oh. And she that is married, see her life. It takes self-control. It takes self-control to train up a child. It takes self-control. But God wants you to learn self-control in everything around you, not just in some things. I told some persons, some people, when I talk with them, people say, "Ah, daddy, you are upset with me." I said, "No, actually, the moment I turned, I forgive you. I didn't remember that thing you did." And honestly, it's the truth. Do you know that sometimes, although I thank God for this, it's a grace. Sometimes I can be talking to someone. I don't like what you are doing. I don't like it. Don't do that thing again. In my mind, I'm laughing. It's funny. It's not me. I don't know how to explain it to you, but I'm trying my best to teach you. Say, I can be telling someone, "What is wrong with you? Why would you go and sell something you're supposed to sell 1,000 for 2,000 naira?" In my mind, there's no anger. There's no atom of anger. I'm only doing it as a boss so that they will step their game. And the moment I finish, if I turn, you see me smiling. I'll be holding myself not to laugh. And they will be feeling very bad that Oga scolded me, told me what I did. And in less than 2 minutes, I will now come and say, "Hey, come, let's go so please." And the person will be wondering like, Sometimes I'll see them squeezing their face because they are feeling that I'm upset with them. I say, "Why are you angry?" They will start looking at me like, you just yelled at me. You are telling me, why am I angry? But in my heart, it's not there. It's a gift God gave to me, but I knew I have asked for this thing. Does it make sense? Learn it. It's self-control. See, however way you build yourself is how you become. Patience. I've told you about that. We must learn to be patient. Then number 8 is obedience. How many of you have a rule that governs your life? You have a rule that governs you. What is the one thing you will not be caught doing? Hello? Anybody? What is the one thing you will not be caught doing? Anybody? Stealing. I love that. Cheating. What is the one thing you will not be caught doing? That is what builds your obedience. If you make out things that you must follow, you see, in this life, to be great, you must have a principle. See, every time you disobey, there's a punishment for you. Even when you disobey nature, it will punish you. If you look at the weather and you know it's about to rain, and you say, "I will not go with umbrella. I have faith it will not fall me. I have faith rain will not fall." Do you know how many farmers have buried them legs in the prayer and asking God for water to fall so that they can feed? And you think your one faith will stop it? I'm not saying it's not possible, but check your faith now. That your small faith. That your small faith that cannot provide bread. Even when God says, "I will give you your daily bread," you can't even see the bread. You want to stop nature. You saw the rain. You saw the weather changing. You saw it's about to rain. You say, "Father, I walk into this thing. It will not fall me. Even if the rain is falling, it will not touch me." You enter. How many of you have tried it before? Be honest. Raise up your hands. They will not show themselves now. Don't come and meet me and say, "Daddy, I tried that thing one day." Obedience. Can we go to Philippians 2 verse 8? I have two more topics and we pray. Philippians 2 verse 8. Let's read.
He humbled himself in obedience to God.
He humbled himself in obedience to God.
And died a criminal's death on the cross.
That is a painful thing. Most of us sometimes what makes us a Christian is that we need to learn to obey the words of God. But some persons don't know how to obey the words of God. They choose. See, you don't have a choice to choose whether to obey the word of God or not. You are compelled to choose. You are expected to choose to obey the word of God. Let me show you one secret that will bless you. Wherever you, if you are not taking a position in this ministry, in your church, take a position. Don't be useless in the body of Christ. Avoid it like a poison. Don't, in the body of Christ, don't be useless. Find one thing and belong to. And don't just belong because your name is written there. Be an active member of that thing. And let people know that that is what you are doing. If you can't do any other thing, then be a prayer warrior in a church. Even if they don't announce you, but make sure you know spiritually you are doing something for that church. Don't say the only thing I give to the church is I give my offering. How much is the offering? Does it make sense? If you are not belong, is that why I say I always advise everyone, make sure you have a ministry and you have a church you attend and be useful to those people. In a church, find one thing that you're useful to. In a ministry, find one thing that you're useful to. Helps you grow. Have a balanced life. I'm going to retouch all these ones later, but number 9 is honesty and number 10 is prayer. Next time we'll talk about that. The essence of what I'm trying to explain to you is that we must have a laid down rule on how to follow Christ. These 10 things I listed to you now are ways, something you need to look at and adapt to yourself. Do you know that it is so hard to wake up in the morning around 5 a.m.? Even the nature does not want you to wake up. Do you know that it's so hard to wake up around 12:30 in the midnight? Even the nature is against you. But do you know that God loves it when you sacrifice that sleep and wake up? But if you can't pray midnight, pray afternoon. Put ITE to it. Because everybody believes it's midnight. What about midday? The midnight is not working for you. Leave it alone. Go midday. Don't force yourself. The midnight, every time, man of God, I don't know, I hate myself. Let God give me the spirit of prayer. It doesn't work like that. Some of you will set your alarm 12:30. Then let it ring by 1 o'clock, then 1:30. So when 12:30 rings, you are like, don't worry, 1 o'clock is coming. Let me just sleep small. 1 o'clock will hit. You say, don't worry, I'm not telling you. 1:30, don't worry, I'll pray tomorrow. We have to discipline ourselves to pray. We must discipline ourselves to pray. Everybody ought to always pray. See, transfer your prayer. You're no longer praying for yourself. You're praying for your generation. Transfer that prayer. See, it's not about inheriting property. Your children should not always, every time. What do you? It's not about inheriting properties. There's some great men of God that left this earth without giving their children anything. The only thing they released to their children is their inheritance. Their anointing was released to the children. And that anointing is sustaining them. There's some children you will release, let's say you release inheritance of wealth, they will sell the properties. Leave your children something that is tangible. Study so that, see, there's an age you will reach. You can't pray the way you used to pray now. You can't change it. A man of God, I think, is that the Umotbai was saying something. He said, he don't used to pray like he used to pray before again. And I'm like, 6 hours. You are praying 6 hours. Now, in my own understanding, I'm like, you are praying 6 hours every morning. And you say you don't used to pray like you used to pray before again. Because even me, the 6 hours is my problem. And I'm very young. So that means these people were able to lock themselves up for 24 hours to 10 hours praying constantly. Something Justice Suleiman shared one day. He said one day a senator came to see him in his house. So he was in his place of prayer. And while he was praying, 1 hour passed, the senator was waiting. 2 hours passed, the senator was praying. 3 hours, the senator was waiting. Then his wife was worried. Then his daughter went and knocked on the door. Knocked. He opened the door. The daughter said, Daddy, why now? This man has been here for about 3 hours and he wants to see you. He said, he sat down, he said, sit down. He said, The reason why this man came is the reason why I'm praying. This man is not coming to see me. He's coming because of the anointing I carry. This man is here because he needs an answer from God. And this thing I'm doing is what will make this man to keep coming. But you, one small contract of 10,000 came. You left your prayer to answer 10,000 naira call. Are you not ashamed? When God wants to bless you, God is opening small, small door. Some people are forming, they are very busy. Every door is opening. See, you're not busy. Some of those doors are devil opening it. You think it's every money that is your money? A man must learn to say no at times to grow. You see footballers, at a time you are paying them maybe 10,000 naira every week. A time will come, they said, no, I don't want it anymore. I'm going to, I don't want no more. You heard the story of the one that is the keeper of Chelsea, the current keeper of Chelsea. He was playing for a club, all of a sudden the club dropped him. After the club dropped him, then his agent told him there were other offers of a club that would pick him. He called the agent never returned his call. The agent messaged him and said, good luck in your future. That means he had no job. So he went to another club and played 1 year for that club, free, without being paid. And he now become the third keeper in Marseille FC. And now he's the first goalkeeper in Chelsea. He wanted to give up, but the parents said no. Instead, what he did, he offered his service for free so that people can see his talent. You are putting money on everything in your life. That's why you are useless. Come and play keyboard, you pay me 5,000. Sing song, you pay my transport coming. Who are you? When people see what you carry, see Theophilus, he doesn't charge for service. He sings, the world is celebrating his anointing. You are here chanting his song, he doesn't even know who you are. You are promoting his song. When they ask who sing that song, you will say, ah, it's Theophilus Sunday. Some of you might not even know, you know what he looks like. But you sing his song. And when you hear his song, you raise up your hands. Do you know how many hours he has been singing for free? They call you for just common choir practice. You are so busy. You are tired. You went for work. Your waist is paining you. Do you think these people get up there like that? You think you just wake up in the morning and you became very anointed? God will give you anointing. You will walk out that anointing. He said, walk out your salvation. And hallelujah, hallelujah. Walk out your salvation. You don't know how to sing. You come, you hold mic. And the man of God is raising voice. You are raising with me. All our voices are going high. I don't even know who is leading. So I don't see my wife scatter. I don't even know. Sometimes I have to keep quiet to know who is leading. Then when I want to back you up, you leave the leading and start joining me to back up. So, who are we backing up? Come training, you have a good voice. That is not the good voice. Someone can have a bad voice, but understand how music works. I'm not saying I know how to sing, but we that don't know how to sing know how to detect faults more. No be so. Now, person when us have been played, the third person say, you for do your leg like this. If you just I'm small. So we that don't know how to sing, we are the one that know the mistake that people are making. Come for practice, they won't come. Come for maybe they are doing a program. Come for program, you won't come. You are here. You are saying that God has blessed you. Since you joined this ministry, God has blessed you. You have not won even one soul to the ministry. You are a shame. I'm telling you, a big shame. Someone brought you. You can't bring someone. Not so that the person will be a member in the church. Win a soul. Let that person win that soul. Let that person be going to his own church. But let it be if you won a soul. Now, who are you helping? You come secretly. You tap the man of God anointing. Then you go. You showcase. You don't win one soul. Somebody brought you to a church. Who have you brought? Who have you even led to Christ? You have been a member for 2-3 months. Who have you led to Christ? Not even one soul. Preach the gospel on Facebook. You can't even preach. The one people have preached, share your timeline. You can't even share. The punishment God will give you is jogging somewhere. He's in the Hades now, jogging. Warming up for you. Spread the gospel you can't spread. Support the gospel you can't support. Helplessly, helpless. Hopelessly, helpless. How then do we call ourselves Christians? Okay, then go to your house and pray for the ministry to grow. You are weak to pray.
Adonai.
Okay, we'll be in our feet.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Elohim Adonai, Imadonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be. Elohim Adonai,
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Elohim Adonai,
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Elohim Adonai,
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will
in Jesus' name. I don't want to waste our time. Just begin to pray. Ask God to give you the grace to love one another. God to give you the grace to win souls for Him. Let God give you the grace to be obedient to His ways. Let God give you the grace that everything that you have heard concerning the word of God shall come alive in your life. Let the word of God manifest itself through you. Begin to tell God that you are ready to be used as a vessel to be His will. Tell Him.
Elohim Adonai.